The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning to you, Kelly. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. What do you think? Like 8 segments on the college football national championship?
At least. Sean and I are trying to figure out where we can get those TCU championship shirts from. Trying to get some of those.
Those will get shipped elsewhere.
They'll get shipped elsewhere. We're trying to get some before they leave.
We have a good show today. We will touch on this briefly. Pardon me. Because there's a couple of points I want to make about the game. But briefly. Aaron Schatz will join us on Football Outsiders. We do this every year. The founder of Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, joins us right before the postseason, right after the regular season, to sort of break it all down. We've done this for about 10, 11 straight years. Not making that up. Both podcast and show. Just get a sense of who they predicted before the season started that actually manifested in the postseason, all kinds of historical anomalies with teams and his ratings, units, offense, and defense. Essentially want to give you context for moving forward and betting the wild card division round weekends and then beyond. So we'll do that with Aaron Schatz. Looking forward to that. Always fun. Jonathan Von Tobel, our own VSiN NBA senior analyst, will talk NBA with us later on. Kai McKeon on college hoops as well. We'll do some NFL power rankings, which to me, Kelly, after a season of the most static NFL power rankings ever, might be the funniest of them all this week.
Wait. In the sense of what?
In the sense of, you know, how we were like, after team 6, you could have picked anybody. Now I feel like it's after team 5.
Yes.
Just a free-for-all. Like, if I said, I'll just do this at the beginning of the show, and then everybody listening can sort of think on their own. Who's your 6th power-ranked team in the NFL? I guarantee you we will have there will be no shortage of answers.
I only asked what I asked because we've done these every week for basically the entire season. We haven't done the past couple weeks because of me being out of town and different reasons. Last week, I felt like I rearranged mine more this time around than I have at any point during the regular season.
Agreed.
That's why I brought it up.
Agreed. Even within the top 5.
Even within the top 5.
Right.
Yes. I made some big moves.
But it still holds. Who's your 6? And there's no other season where it was that high. We would say, who's your 9th? Who's your 11th? Whatever it is. 6th? Are you kidding me? That's the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that as well. We'll talk some Australian Open futures. And looking forward to all of that. Okay, about the Natty. Georgia. And TCU. 65-7. Did you catch any of this game last night, Kelly? Anything at all?
I would say I had it on a TV for, 2 hours, but I had audio on for 10 minutes, roughly.
I was going to say, at what point did it become background for people? Like,
second quarter.
Oh, yes. I would say mid-second quarter. And here's the point. I want to make 2 points. They're both related about this. And we do a betting show. This just in, not a sports talk radio or mainstream media sports show. So it's going to be related to that.
First of all, but Jordan is better than LeBron.
I agree completely. By the way, Colin Cowherd on record is saying there is no shortage of time he can spend on that debate. And
his listeners
will just eat it up.
We can do it, too. We can do an hour of that.
He can do it tomorrow. They'll all tune in. So the only stat that I want to bring up is this. When Georgia made it 65-7 on the Branson Robinson run from the 19-yard line in the late fourth quarter, at that point, Georgia had run 64 plays and had scored 65 points.
It's pretty good.
Is dominazione, I believe is what they say.
Yeah, by the way, you text me last? It was like end of second quarter, halftime. You're like, is scoring got every possession good?
Yeah, I said.
Can you
tell me something? Scoring on every possession.
I believe that's the goal when you have the ball in football, yeah.
They did run 8 plays, garbage time after that. If you can call that garbage time, it was all garbage time. But here's the point I want to make. 2 of them. One is, I don't care who you are, if you were pre-flop Georgia or if you were pre-flop TCU, you should have made money on this football game last night. Now, the beauty of sports betting is it's all one big puzzle. We talk about pre-flop and in-game and information-based handicaps and all kinds of different things. You have to recognize opportunities when they present themselves. So even if you had, for those who had Georgia pre-flop, and most of us thought Georgia was going to roll in this game, wonderful. But for those who had TCU pre-flop, and for those who had TCU futures, right? I had a TCU future. I never thought I was going to get home. But for those who had that, by latest mid-second quarter yesterday, you had to recognize this was going to be an unabashed slaughter, right? This was just going to never end. TCU had the moment. They had the 60-yard pass. I believe it was to Darius Davis. They got the touchdown, 10-7. It was two touchdowns after that where I would say, okay, this is we see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
So even if you had a TC pre-flop number, you needed to have the humility last night to say to yourself, I am wrong. This is not going to win. And this is also not the year 2005 where I can't make in-game bets. You had to get in there and say to yourself, I am now going to bet Georgia in-game. Now, again, this doesn't always work when we watch sports. So I'm not suggesting it does. But in a rare circumstance like last night where it was so beyond obvious. And in fact, I would even go one step further, Kelly, and say, because I bet Georgia -29.5, -28, and -31. And you know what my attitude is this morning? I'm an idiot for not betting it more.
Yeah.
That's the mind meld of sports betting. I was smart enough to make those bets, and I'm mad that I didn't make more.
No, I hear you. I honestly, it's not something I was working, watching NBA. I didn't even really think about jumping in on it live. I just didn't care. But I had a couple friends texting me in a group conversation, and it was hilarious where they're much bigger college football bettors than I am. It was hilarious to see them go back and forth, be like, added -32.5, added -40.5. I'm like, oh, my God, man.
And again, I just want to say, does it work every time? No. Can you get crushed doing that in other situations doing that? Yes. But I just want to say again, yesterday it was so clear. So I just want to make that point that from a betting standpoint, then that's all we care about. It should have been a money-making opportunity. Now, the other big thing that you will hear, oh, well, this shows it. This shows that when we expand next year, this is going to suck.
That's the sports talk angle.
That's the sports talk angle of the day, right? And you know what? From what they're trying to get across, okay, yeah, that might happen. Could there be an upset in, you know, the first quote-unquote round or whatever? Could there be a TCU-like team that could win a game? Maybe two. No, there's not going to be a Villanova 1985, like in college basketball, beating a Georgetown. It's just not going to happen. So I get that. But betting, it just gives you more opportunities to earn. And that's all this is about for us. So, yeah, from a, you know, a mainstream media perspective, might it create a clunker of a game like this where poor Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit are going to have to filibuster for 3.5 hours? Sure. But from a betting standpoint, hey, man, if you're there, if you're present, seize the opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's great call, great advice. I think the one thing I was thinking about last night from more of a macro college football thing is, you know, is this a beginning of something with Georgia or is this the end of something with Georgia and maybe some of these other SEC schools where it looks like after, I mean, geez, it feels like decades now, right? But Georgia finally capitalizing on one of the most, one of the best recruiting areas in the entire country and really doing a great job of bringing in high-level talent. But we're now shifting into this NIL period, right, of this new period of college football that we've really never been in before. And I think it's going to open up opportunities for schools that don't live in quite fertile recruiting areas, right, to actually be able to compete. But I think with schools like Georgia and Texas A&M, I think it's a great example because how much money they have coming in from boosters. But is this something you're going to continue to build on the recruiting grounds that you've built up there and add on NIL guys? You know what I mean? And that makes you even stronger? Or are you going to get weakened by other schools being able to take some of those kids away from you with NIL deals? I don't really know. But I think it's an interesting future with college football here.
It's probably a little of both, right? I think if you're established like a Georgia or an Alabama, you are like, look, Georgia's the short shot to win the national championship next year.
Yep.
They got a great recruiting class. They have a really easy schedule. They have three tough games, maybe. Maybe. And by tough, I mean challenge in like quotations, like, you know, for them.
There's your odds for next year.
+275 is what we're showing at DraftKings. Shop around, of course. The way too early look into next year. But yes, for the Georgias and Alabamas, those, it just, the five stars are going to just keep rolling on in. But yeah, to your point, like, and then we said this when this, when, by the way, and that's why Bud Elliott, who we had on yesterday, does such a great job on transfer portal and NIL. You would think like a school like Miami, right? Like the U, which yes. was, which the U defined college football for many of us growing up.
I mean, USC, UCLA, right?
Yes. Yeah. You would think that that would allow those just absolute major market and really appealing markets for kids to go to, for anyone to go to. You would hope that they would rise from the ashes, so to speak. So yeah. We'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot of
I mean, that's 10-20 years down the road sort of thing, you know?
But. Well, I don't know, right, and how long will it take to manifest? Or let's even talk about just teams that you wouldn't necessarily leap to mind for, in the forefront of your mind first. Or will there be enough of a spread around of talent that there will inevitably be a team that you won't anticipate on a yearly basis, like there is on the NFL where somebody goes from worst to first, not saying they're going to win a national championship, but some random team in the country is going to just, I don't know, maybe through NIL money. And there's the biggest thing about all this. We have no idea, Kelly, exactly how much money we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly, right. Where's it coming from?
These quarterbacks are getting $1 million or are they getting $5 million? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But yes, is that going to affect where, you know, who goes where? Sure.
And then maybe an expanded playoff does make more sense. But I don't know. That's so it's down the line. We'll have to see.
Let's put it this way. College football is certainly its own animal. It is unlike any other sport going, that's for sure. Congratulations to Kirby Smart. Congratulations to Stetson Bennett, by the way. That's what college football is all about. Greatest college football story ever. Walk on to two-time champ. College basketball on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. Pardon me, BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM. State-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander. We'll get to tweets momentarily. By the way, apologize for the voice. About 80% now. Almost there. Almost completely there.
We're getting there. We almost sound completely healthy again.
Before we talk college basketball, Kelly, with Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave, I want to make it a point always, because we do shows every day, like everybody here at the network does shows every day. But, you know, it's often our fault that then they just get lost in the ether, right? We'll do segments. We'll move on to the next day. We'll forget about what we did, and we'll never really go back to it. Mm. I want to make sure we do that sometimes, though, that we make a point to go back to some things. Matt Buchalter joined us in August here on set, here on A Numbers Game. Matt Buchalter, for those who have been around gambling Twitter for a while, is at Plus EV Analytics. And he was kind enough to join us in studio. I met him at Bet Bash at Spanky's Bet Bash 2. We said, hey, you know, if you're in town, come on the show. He was planning a trip, so he did come on. And he did a segment before the NFL season. And I like to think of him as a guy that gets in his lab and crunches numbers and comes up with some stuff. And he had two hypotheses going when he came on the show. One was, not hypotheses, but he backed these up with numbers. He had the hypotheses, and then he researched it and backed it up with numbers. The first, Kelly, was that first-year quarterbacks, right, rookie quarterbacks, underperform their team's regular season win totals. Teams with rookie quarterbacks underperform their season win totals by roughly a game every year, on average. That teams with second-year quarterbacks outperform their team's regular season win total by almost a game. Hmm. So rookie quarterbacks underperform by a game. Second-year quarterbacks overperform by a game. Now, intuitively, think about that. What does that mean? Yeah, rookie quarterbacks come in with a lot of hype out of college, team saviors. Oh, my God, here's this team's season win total. And more often than not, they fail in reaching that. Second-year quarterbacks, they've established now this reputation as a bad rookie season. Season win total is lower. They tend to overperform it by a year. Makes sense.
Makes sense, yep.
The other hypothesis that he backed up with numbers was, and this is a little more interesting, I think, or a little more sort of off the beaten path, which is teams that come back with the same head coach and the same offensive coordinator, or a brand new head coach and a brand new offensive coordinator, tend to outperform their season win total. They perform better than their regular season win total, but teams with a mixture, returning head coach, new offensive coordinator, or new head coach, returning offensive coordinator, tend to underperform their season win total, their team's season win total, by quite a significant margin. And that has to do with work culture and just the theory that he came out in, and he backs it up with numbers. Mm-hmm. So he ended up giving us 7 plays, 6 of which were alt season win totals. I think the 7th on top was an alt, but then by the time he was on air, it was no longer an alt.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think that was. You're right.
He ended up going 5-2. So, and if you break these down, the only two he missed were at the top, Bills under 11.5 and Texans alt over 5.5. In the Bills, it was the old head coach, new offensive coordinator. Remember, it was Ken Dorsey and not Brian Daboll under Sean McDermott. And then with the Texans, second-year quarterback Davis Mills. Now, from there, it was all winners. Jags, second-year quarterback Trevor Lawrence, alt over, bang. These are all, by the way, big bang for your buck, right? Plus 200.
Yep.
Jets alt over. It was Zach Wilson as the theory there.
Didn't still really, got home,
didn't
whatever.
Didn't really draw a direct line, but you get the idea. That was a winner. Bucks alt under. That's a new head coach and a old offensive coordinator, right? Todd Bowles with Byron Leftwich. And these two at the bottom. Now, it wasn't just all that. These two at the bottom were just the basic, let me find a number that's way off kind of thing. And so, by the way, the Seahawks was same head coach, same offensive coordinator, but he loved the number on the alt over, got plus 185. The Broncos was the one where it didn't match the theory. He was just like, this number is ridiculous, and he bet that. So 5-2, just wanted to give Matt Buchalter at plus EV analytics a shout.
Yeah, that's a great season with win totals right there.
And yeah.
Man, the AFC West and NFC West, what we thought before the season versus what we think now.
You don't know the AFC West is going to be the greatest division in the history of the world? No? Man, didn't really quite turn out that way. Let's talk some college basketball. We'll bring him in from three-man weave. It's Kai McKeon. How you doing, Kai?
Gil, I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Now that college football is gone, you sort of puff your chest out. You're like, it's my time of the year now. I get to show off my hair to everybody. This is awesome.
That's right, man. Yeah, it's college basketball time. The world turns their eyes to us. It's the best time of the year.
Do you? I probably asked you this before in some form, you or Matt or Jim at Three Man Weave. Is there a particular time of year where you guys historically do better? Is it the very beginning of college basketball? Where the lines have not really, calibrated yet? Is it when conference season starts? Is it towards March Madness? When is it?
Yeah, historically it's November and a bit of December as well. And that's basically why the analytics aren't out there on all the teams. We tend to have an edge just based on hours and hours of preview work during the summer. But there is a bit of an edge still at the beginning of conference play. There's scenarios that play out. And then it tapers off towards the end of January and then definitely February. Very tough to win in February in college basketball.
Random question: as we start conference season, or as conference season has begun, is there what conference do you believe ends up having the most teams in the Big Dance?
Big 12.
Big 12 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they could get every single team. There's a path to that, which is just nuts right now.
Okay, and here's the other one that I wanted to ask you, which I've asked you every year, but I wait till this time of year, which is some books. Instead of, obviously, who's going to win it all, they'll have an NIT market. And again, it's one of these markets that I love because it requires you to think on more than one level, which is who's not good enough to make the Big Dance, who's going to get bounced, who's going to be a bubble team that doesn't make it in, but will be good enough and motivated enough, probably that last part is the main thing, to win the NIT. What team or teams sort of fits that bill right now?
Ooh. Gosh, top of my head, maybe Florida could be one of those teams. If they miss the tournament, still a very good team in my mind. And a coach in Todd Golden that's not going to give up if they're in a postseason tournament like the NIT, and a coach that will be motivated to finish the season strong in his first season.
Okay, I asked Jim about Giants and Giant Killers last time he was on. Let me ask you the same. What's the team that's up towards the top? Is it Purdue? Where you're just like, this is a team ripe for an early round upset.
Ripe for an early round upset. Texas, if they get up there, just because I'm not a huge believer in Rodney Terry right now. Purdue, I have a little bit more faith in, but they do have the freshman guard factor. I love their freshman guards, but in March tends to be a bit of an issue. I'm sure teams will figure out how to put Zach Edey in space. So Purdue's not a bad option, but I think Texas would be the vulnerable team at the top right now.
They'll figure out how to put Zach Edey in space. Why can't they do it in the regular season?
I don't know. And I say that narrative, and it always makes me laugh. It's, oh, Big Ten can't win in March. Well, why don't teams just do that all the time to the Big Ten, right? Why don't they always space the big guys out? It's probably because conference play is so like-minded. All these teams have these big men, and they can't afford to play that way because they're playing big men of themselves. And then you get in the non-con, it's like, oh, wow, we haven't seen this in the last 2 or 3 months, and suddenly it's a big edge for the other team.
All right,
just a theory.
Yeah,
not too sure.
And right. Then giant killer characteristics, three-point shooting, heavy, fast pace. What's a team that if they get into March Madness could make some noise?
How about Oral Roberts again? We saw him do it once already, right? With Max Aismans, he's back. They're really, really good. They returned everybody from last season, all five starters. A team that could be very, very dangerous in March.
All right, so you and Jim have the same answer to that. I would hope there would be some meshing of your answers, but oftentimes they can be different. Okay, what do you like today then?
I like two plays here. I like Murray State to start with in the Valley. They're +3, +3.5 at Northern Iowa. Just think Northern Iowa struggles a little bit more with these more athletic teams, and the Racers are very athletic, long wings, multiple versatile forwards. The travel is also minimal. That's kind of a big part of the handicap. Murray State's coming from Drake, which is in Des Moines, about less than a two-hour drive from Cedar Falls. So I think it deflates the home court a bit. I think there's a little value in that number.
Okay. I like the travel note there about Iowa geography. All right, what else do you like?
I like VCU. -3, might be -3.5 at some books. I'm still a pretty big believer in this team. They struggled a bit with injuries early on. I think they started hitting their stride in conference play. Loyola also looks broken. They're in shambles right now. VCU is going to force a million turnovers. Few teams do it better, and few teams handle the ball worse than Loyola. And it should be kind of a free throw a-thon for VCU today. Should get to the line whenever they want.
Murray State, VCU, your two plays today from three-man Weaves, Kai McKeon. And you still don't do – you still not playing any in-game stuff?
What's that?
You're still not doing any in-game stuff? Are you not betting in-game at all?
I don't really. You know, if I'm sitting there bored of the TV, I'll throw in a bet, but not really.
See, I would think, Kai, you guys would just make hay on it.
Probably should be.
Okay. All right. Just a suggestion. Put it in the suggestion box. Kai McKeon from 3-Man Weave. Thank you, Kai. Appreciate it. At Kai_3MW or at 3MW_CBB for all of their picks each and every day. Want to congratulate a couple guys for winning some contests. On the other side, one of our own, one of our guests, and of course, Power Rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guest. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports. VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out, though, on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. To sign up for only $9.99, become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, Sean McCollum, who does the audio here in studio, is wearing a generic AFC baseball cap, which is always amusing to me. So he's rooting for the conference.
He goes to those Raiders game and gets those chants going, like the SEC chants.
I was just ruminating off air. I was like, do you think there's an individual who is like pro, like Metro Division in basketball? Who's like Orlando, Charlotte, Washington, Miami, and Atlanta.
I don't care who wins.
Southeast. Is that what it's called now? What I call Metro?
Metro's NHL, right? Yeah.
Metro. Southeast. You know what I meant. It's like
that would be the most
generic
the most specific fandom of a division ever.
Jesse Welch on Twitter. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Over under on the term mollywopped on today's show. I mean the old fashioned version of mollywopped.
Over a half, TC. Yeah. You got mollywopped last night.
Slice 3-0. Oh yes, we swept our tennis picks last night.
Nice.
And again, because the tennis matches are in Australia, we'll do some Australian Open futures later. I won't have them here on the show because I'm not waking up at 2 a.m. and handicapping tennis and then doing the show. So I'm going to do that after the show, and I give them out on Twitter. So I think that puts us in positive ground on the young season. Rob Platts Happy Tuesday, Gil, and the number game and numbers game crew. Thank you so much for your winning tennis picks, Gil. 3 for 3. That's impressive. Have yourself a fantastic day. You too, Rob. Thank you. War Eagle, anyways. Natty game becoming a background viewing? Never. Because in the SEC, it just means more, young Gilly.
See, same thing. That guy's like the Southeast Division NBA
that's
guy.
That's right. He's the SEC guy. He says he really misses Cam Newton. He adds that. Bill Hooker. How about a pro tip from a listener? If people click on tweets and replies on your Twitter page, they'll see your response for previous tennis bet requests. Save you a lot of copying and pasting. Well, you're right, but, you know, people ask, so I tell them. Scotty B, 726, about your live in-play last night, Gil. I've always said there's only two bets you can make, too much or not enough. I was talking about how I made in-game bets, and instead of being happy about making Georgia minus 30 or 29 and 28 and a half, whatever the three I made were at that point, that I didn't make more.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. Charles Boyle, I have to improve on the in-game betting. I agree with your comment on kicking myself as clear as it was. So he's all about that. Johnny Millionaire. Gil, traveling into Vegas and had a quick question, which isn't easy to Google. Best odds in Vegas for 3-team 10-point teasers. And Kelly, you shared with me off air that you only think William Hill has them.
Yeah, I believe so. AKA Caesars, if you're coming in town here. I'll double check on that and get back to you, though.
And the angry...
I didn't know it was someone coming to Vegas that they needed it. Yeah. They needed help with that. I'll check it right now.
And the angriest guy in New Jersey. Three Man Weave. Is that the website or the place that he does his hair?
Yeah, well done today.
Angriest guy made the show.
Guy's got good hair.
He's got good hair. By the way, also
Angriest guy in New Jersey who's often commenting to me about people's hair on this network.
What is amazing?
He can only come to me obviously because I got great hair, so you know that's why he feels comfortable confiding in me about it. But he has a lot to say about people's hair on this network.
Does he?
He does.
What's amazing is that he tweets you, he tweets me, but never together.
Never both of us.
Never together. By the way, congratulations to a couple people. One, Chris Felica, who, of course, is a frequent guest here on a numbers game and on the network. He won the first annual Mad Humans Circa Friday Football Invitational.
Yeah!
$25,000 for Felica. He got it done last night with Georgia covering easily. So mazel tov to Chris. $25,000 from Derek Stevens and crew.
Yeah, did they just free roll that? Is that how that worked?
What do you mean?
Like, did Derek just put up the money for
it? Yeah, Derek just put up the money.
Damn, what a guy.
I think it was Human's idea, and then Derek backed it. So congratulations to Chris Felica, who got it done. They can never take that away from you, Chris.
Can't.
And then can we also congratulate our own Wes Reynolds?
Yes.
Our own Wesley Reynolds, who, little known fact, Kelly. I don't know if you know this.
This is another one. I don't really know what he won.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Because it's a pro football betting contest, right? But it's not the super contest?
Well, you know, Kelly, that's why I'm here. First of all, little-known fact about Wes Reynolds. Named after the great Wesley Unseld, NBA MVP and Rookie of the Year in 1968. I might have made that up. But I'm just saying they time out pretty.
I believe his full name, real name, is Wesley, though. Yes.
I believe it's Wesley Unseld Reynolds.
Because I always used to call him different variations. I'd be like Weston, Wesley. And then finally I asked him one day. He's like, yeah, it is.
Wes Reynolds, by the way, completely made up the Wes Unseld thing. Wes Reynolds won the Superbook Pro Football Season Wins Challenge.
Oh. it was like picking win totals.
He went 21-7-2 officially. The Bills under loser didn't count, nor did the Bengals over winner. Thus the discrepancy. So 21-7-2 on season wins from our own Wes Reynolds.
Bang! Get it, Wes!
Who's on air every day here with Femi.
Love it.
Congratulations to Wes.
That is awesome.
You ready to do some power rankings, bruh?
Plug it in!
Power rankings.
What did you say that should be like for like 106.7, the buzz? The buzz.
Yeah. The 103.1, the buzz.
You say we get out of here and just do radio voiceovers the rest of our lives.
I really wish I could.
106.7, the buzz.
I'm trying to get that Flex Seal job coming after what's-his-name's job.
I was thinking about you. There was a Flex Seal commercial. Dude. This dude is expanding into like different Flex Seal products.
It's incredible. I'm not even kidding. I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
The numbers game audience might not know this as much. Primetime Action did.
Yeah.
Though, when there's new Flex Seal commercials, I get excited about it. I am not a handy guy, but I love seeing whatever they got coming up.
You sound like the Flex Seal guy.
Exactly, right? Flex Seal. The Flex Seal family of products.
I think he's watering it down. I think he should have stayed with the same thing.
He's incredible.
That thing will keep your boat afloat, man. Just plug it in there. Hole in your
we
boat.
We carved out the bottom That's of this right. boat and put on a piece of glass with Flex Seal. Look at it float now.
Here's your,
love that.
Here's your NFL Power Rankings postseason edition as we head into the postseason. All right, Kelly, here's where it starts. We talked about this a little bit earlier, which is, who's your number six? That's really the assignment. The first five teams, I think we all agree on, are really, I said this yesterday on the show, it's only five teams that can win the Super Bowl. The rest of this league is kind of dreck, Yiddish.
Yeah.
But now there's a little change in my top five. I do have the Chiefs number one. I got the Niners number two. Got the Bengals three. I have the Eagles fourth and the Bills fifth. Now, I know Bills fans are going to be like, what's wrong with you, man? All we do is win. All we do is just play great football. Well, I don't know. You worry me is what you do. So one of these teams in the AFC, the Chiefs, Bengals, or Bills, will not make it past the division round. The NFL is not good enough to absorb all the dreck teams this week. There'll be three that get through the division round, but there will be one of those three really good teams in the AFC that won't get to the championship, obviously. So I got Chiefs 1, Niners 2, Bengals 3, Eagles 4, Bills 5. The Eagles are worrying me too. And here's where it gets funky.
Yeah.
I didn't know who to put at 6. I went with the Chargé. I know, let the hate wash over me. And the only reason I did that was because I figured if they're on their A game on offense.
Yep.
I couldn't even get it through.
And everybody's playing.
And right, everybody's,
like, you
got
to assume Mike Williams is playing, and they've got everybody that they need. But I'm with you. I looked at it the same way, Gil.
If you, you know, mock me, I'll take it. Because you could have any team in here. I mean, there's so many teams you could have at number six. I ended up with the Cowboys at 7. The Cowboys really worry me. They were always the sixth. They worry me. They looked so bad against Washington. Jags 8, Lions 9. Some people might even have the Lions 6. I don't think you can keep them out of the top 10. And then the Vikings 10. You, sir.
Ooh, I did keep the Lions out of the top 10.
I don't think you can.
It's funny because the Chargers-Cowboys thing, I had the same thought on.
Oh, look at you.
As far as 6-7.
Wow.
I'll start at the top. I went Bills. I went Bills 1. I went back and forth between Bills and Bengals 1-2. I do think they're the two best teams in football. I'm a little concerned about the Chiefs' defense. They're number 3 to me. I'll say, though, Gil, and this is, you know those props they've got out there of AFC versus NFC and the Super Bowl and stuff like that? I really might want. I might bet one of these early.
Wow, you got Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, 1, 2, 3.
I have those three teams so far ahead of anybody else in the league,
really?
including anybody in the NFC,
including the Niners,
including the Niners. Wow. Yeah, including the Niners. I think the Niners are awesome. Yes, I'm that guy who's waiting for that bad Brock Purdy game. Like, when does that come back to bite them? Maybe it never does, and maybe I'm wrong this entire time because the rest of the team is that talented that
you.
They could, but I'm that guy who's waiting to that. I see Bills, Bengals, and Chiefs, and I think those are three really good, pretty complete teams. I think the Chiefs' defense a little bit of a concern, but I still got the Eagles, I would say, slightly above the Niners, but I would be okay going one way or the other there. And then I went Chargers 6, Cowboys 7, really just looking for an excuse to put any team above the Cowboys because I'm like, they need to be punished for what they've done recently. Put them 7.
Pushed.
I got Vikings 8. And then I went Ravens-Jags at the end here. But I think you could go with a lot of teams.
Ravens.
I think you could go Lions. I think you could go Steelers. I think you could put a lot of teams up there.
You really can. I think the Lions are a top 10 team. I really do. Doesn't get them in the playoffs. Anyway, it's a fascinating year in the NFL. We'll talk to Aaron Schatz in a bit about how he puts context on it through analytics. Australian Open talk next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, they were offering you a chance to make the championship game more exciting than ever yesterday. Well, now we have a first basket prop. Is that correct? Do we have that? Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, first basket score prop. Any NBA game.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do we? Interesting.
If any lose, receive up to $25 in free bets.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Over at BetMGM now.
Yeah, visit BetMGM.com and download the BetMGM app. Single first basket score prop, any NBA game, any lose. Receive up to $25 in free bets. Remember, it won't take you but a few seconds to download the BetMGM app. Won't take you but a few minutes to sign up. And bang, you're betting with your single first basket score prop at BetMGM. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin hanging out on a Tuesday morning? Yeah, it is. Sure it is. Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Isaiah was yelling me about something happening tomorrow. And I'm like, no, that's happening on Wednesday. It's happening on Wednesday. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's on Wednesday. He's like, yeah, it's tomorrow.
Isaiah Von Wrinkle running the show downstairs. By the way, in case you missed it, obviously, last week was different than all others, but the latest update on Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, he was released from the University of Cincinnati Medical Center after spending almost a week in the hospital following his cardiac arrest on the field at Paycor Stadium. Hamlin flew from Cincinnati to Buffalo yesterday. He's been transferred to Buffalo General Medical Center, Gates Vascular Institute, and will continue to receive treatment as he recovers there. So he goes from Cincinnati to Buffalo. Going to still have him in the hospital just for cautionary reasons. But what a story. A week later, back in Buffalo. Just absolutely a testament to that staff on the field that night. Cannot be that we cannot heap enough praise on them.
I was sitting here. We were doing big bets yesterday when that news came down. I was shocked. I mean, you're talking. It was a week.
Now, it of course did help him being a 24-year-old professional athlete. Sure, all of that helped.
And he's still got a ways to go, right?
And like still got a ways
we
to
don't
go.
Even really know what all he's dealing with. He's still in a hospital in Buffalo, but like the fact that he could even get on a plane to travel back there a week after what we saw happen on the field is incredible.
Neurological functions appear to be in order by all reports. I mean, this couldn't have gone better to this point. I mean, period. It's just incredible. What a story. So we wish him continued recovery for Damar Hamlin. Other football news and notes from the NFL. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said that Tua Tagovailoa has not been cleared for football activities yet. The team expects to know more tomorrow about Tua's condition. I mean, it's a concussion, so you never want to say safe to say things because you never know with a concussion. It either is or it isn't. But they cannot be planning on having Tua play in this game, can they?
I don't know, but like, I mean, how much time has he missed now on this latest one? All I'll say is it's starting to feel odd how much time he's missing, and I don't think they're being precautionary anymore. Like, we don't want this to be a bad look. Either I think there's something there, it's something they're concerned about. They don't want him to take the field, or
I'll be less cynical about it. I don't know if I would characterize what you're saying as cynical, but I'll just take it at its face value, which is, I think you have to do everything to save this kid from something possibly longer term and worse.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It's just, I feel with some of these concussions this year, we used to know exactly how long someone would be out. Tua has kind of been the example this year. You have no idea. Like, you have no idea how long this guy's going to need.
Well, I mean, this is multiple times this year, right? I mean, there was the one where he was, I believe it was a home game. He stood up and then he fell back down. Then there was the game where he had the, what people will remember is the hands and how his fingers were, positioned rigor mortis like, right? That's not the correct.
I'm assuming he's not playing this week, but man, it is. It's just a little odd. I mean, like Lamar, what do you think of Lamar this week? I don't even know what to think on that one.
Don't have no idea. I have no idea if he's even playing. Mike Florio said it, Sunday night. He's like, they still don't know. After missing five games, the PCL, they still don't know if Lamar Jackson is playing this week.
I took a small piece. When the lines opened, I laid 6.5 just small with the Bengals to try to make sure I was ahead of any line movement in case it goes the other way. Because I don't really know. I'll tell you what, Gil, I think I want Well, if it's Anthony Brown, I want Anthony Brown to play. But, if it's – there's a part of me that almost wants, I think, Lamar to play. Like, if you're talking about a banged-up Lamar playing in this game, I think the Bengals could – Bengals are going to smoke these guys.
Even if Lamar played, what are you getting from him? I said it on Guessing Lines yesterday. I'll say it when we did the makeshift Guessing Lines. I will say it again today. I feel like Chalky McChalkerson with the Bengals, with the Niners, and with the Bills. And you want a money line parlay, I don't know what you want to do with them, but I feel like those sides are going to get home. And the other three games, I want no part of pre-flop whatsoever. I just want to in-game them.
What's funny about that is I feel that way about Bengals, Vikings, and then the other games I want nothing to do with.
Bengals, Vikings, those two games.
Yeah, those two favorites.
Yeah, gotcha.
There's no dogs I'm interested in.
The Vikings-Giants is interesting because, again, anecdotally, you're like, oh, people seem to really like the Giants here. Yeah.
That's what it is to me, right? Sure. Like I sure feel like I hear a lot of sharp people on the Giants, and I'm like, wait,
I don't buy it.
This is another one where it's kind of like me and you have all season talked about the Bucs, right? And how we don't buy into this team. What am I supposed to, besides Brian Daboll's excellent coaching ability and Saquon Barkley, what am I supposed to be concerned about with this Giants team?
Everything.
What's that?
What are you supposed to be concerned about? Everything else.
Everything else?
Yeah.
As far as beating me? If I'm on the Vikings side?
No. You're a Giants backer, you're supposed to be concerned with everything else.
That's my point. Yeah. Like, it's, to me, you're talking about, you're going with the talent on the Vikings side of the ball, or you're going with the coaching advantage on the Giants side of the ball. I'm sorry, I'd rather have that offensive talent on the Vikings.
Chargers head coach Brandon Staley said the MRI on Mike Williams' back showed no fracture or muscle injury. Staley also then pumped a fist under the desk when he did it. Okay. Staley added that he expects Williams to return to practice later this week, but did not say whether or not he'd expect him to play in the team's wild card round game against the Jaguars.
So that's what, I don't know if I said this on the air yesterday. Take it for what it's worth, right? What it's worth. If Mike Williams, if I knew he was completely healthy, I'd have a bet in on the Chargers in this game already. But that's how much I think he matters to this offense. I think how much those two wide receivers matter to this offense. And that is the coaching malpractice that Brandon Staley did last week.
Let's talk some tennis. Let's get it in. Australian Open begins this coming week, Sunday night, stateside, if you want to know the exact time for us. That'll be Monday, Australian time, Melbourne time. They're playing again this weekend, Adelaide. Do I have something smart to say about the men's side? Nah, not really. Novak Djokovic is -110. By the way, the big news is Carlos Alcaraz out with a leg injury sustained in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
In a workout. Novak is the guy to beat. I could sit here and, like, say something to be clever about somebody else.
I'll frame it this way to you. If someone beats Novak Djokovic, it's who?
I mean, you'd have to say Rafa just because Rafa's Rafa, even though it's not his surface, right? But you'd have to say that just as a knee jerk.
Okay.
Felix
is -110.
Yeah, it's right. It's correct.
Is -110 a good bet on Djokovic? Should I do what I did last year and bet Djokovic in every single Grand Slam?
I'd bet it. I think -110 is an okay number to play. I really do. Like Felix Auger-Aliassime had a great finish to last season. Matteo Berrettini has a great serve. If it was on all cylinders, could that be a threat? Yes, but I'm just chatting. I'm just talking to talk. Women's side is a little different. Listen, I have bets on Iga. I have bets on Iga at +225 every which way. She's about 2-1 right now.
And that's what I was going to ask you here. What's your cutoff point on Iga?
I wouldn't let it get as down. I wouldn't let it get down further. It was all week. It was like in the +100s before it's drifted back up. I wouldn't bet it that low. Like, okay. I mean,
you know, is the 2-1 we're seeing over at DraftKings, is that fair? Or is that kind of your cutoff?
I wouldn't even bet that. Like, I'd get a little higher than that, right? Listen, the days of having you get 7-1 and +450s and 30-1s, for God's sakes, those days are over. If you're saying who could beat her, Aryna Sabalenka has been finally realizing her potential on tour. She's never won a major, but if she can get her serve yips together, and she has been lately, she's a threat. Jesse Pegula just beat Iga in the World Cup. She's 12-1. World Cup tennis, that is. She's 12-1.
Autocorrect got me.
Do I think that she would win it on this stage? I don't, but I'm just telling you, those are the other names. Anja Borg got to a couple slam finals last year at 12-1. There is, Ludmila Samsonova has the numbers, but I don't trust her at all at 25-1. Xinwen Zhang, who has all the potential in the world, I still think it's too early at 28-1. She has not been playing her best of late. So to me, it's really properly priced at the top, but Iga's still the girl to beat. She's still the lady to beat, but get it north of $2 if you're going to bet it. That would be my sort of humble advice there. We'll come back. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, our annual look into the analytics of the NFL. Put it all in context as you head into your postseason handicapping.